All right, we're back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network.com, republicbroadcasting.org. So I'm on the Karen Kingston Substack right now, the Kingston Report. KarenKingston.substack.com. She gets interviewed by a lot of people, Stu Peters, Brandon Howes, all kinds of people. And so just the title of some of her last articles: when does cherry picking data become a crime? Pfizer received FDA approval to manufacture mRNA bioweapon created by Wuhan Lab. 13 reasons to have state attorney general seize and destroy all COVID-19 mRNA bioweapons. By calling mRNA injections COVID-19 vaccines instead of bioweapons, we're protecting criminals, and so forth and so on. And she's really one of the people that digs into these patents, okay? And a lot of people, they glaze over this stuff and then just lash out and throw people under the bus. So it's got to be one of these two things. Either this stuff is all in these patents and this stuff is real, or the alternative is, can only be one other thing, that the patent office is as dirty as the rest of the alphabet agencies, right? And they are allowing, you know, the DARPA gang, Fauci, Pfizer, Bourla, all Stefan Bonsell over at Moderna and the rest of them. Now, Bonsell came on later, but it can only be two things. The patents are real, or they are intentionally placing salacious disinformation into the patents to freak everybody in the alternative media out. I really don't see any besides these two options. Now, we all know about planted news stories and, you know, all this stuff, running hoaxes on the news. Now, is it possible that they, you know, a lot of the stuff that's in these patents that gets dug out by various people like Karen Kingston, could it be bogus? Could it be just planted in there and then, and therefore all of us are running around screaming, oh my God, everything in these patents? Or is that what's really in there? I mean, it's really, I don't know. It's really the only two answers that I can look at. Either it's planted disinfo in these patents to freak us all out, or yeah, this is what's in our stuff. And we've patented it because we're a bunch of people that we don't want anybody else copying our stuff. And we, you know, corporate secrecy and all that stuff. So, you know, that's where I'm at with it. Now, this Victor Bout thing with Brittany Griner, this dude basketball player, this, you know, I don't know. It looks like a tranny to me. My trade R is going off with Brittany Griner. But anyway, I'm not talking about that. So this Victor Bout guy, they're losing their Christian values. They're losing their families. It's no longer the America we knew. He gives this article, interview on RT. I'm sure it's somebody on RBN's played it. It's a couple minutes long. I'm not going to play it now. So basically, he says he's a former Soviet military officer who was serving a 25-year prison sentence on charges of conspiring to kill Americans, acquire and export anti-aircraft missiles, and provide material support to a terrorist organization. Bout has maintained he's innocent. Okay. Now, allegedly, he was involved with FARC, F-A-R-C, down there in South America and Colombia. And I'm like this. Okay, so all these people are, there's so many different articles about why they wanted this Victor Bout guy out. Okay. Now, some people are saying, oh, Putin wants him out so he can, you know, save the Russian military, blah, 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 blah. So Putin wanted him back. Obviously, he traded this Brittany, you know, Griner character for the guy. Okay. So my question is, why does Russia want the Merchant of Death back? Okay, he was arming the Marxist FARC gang in Colombia, etc. And then you had Mohammed bin Salman and the gang in Dubai that were in on this swap. So they're so that big so-called anti-gay, you know, Saudi kingpin, and in Dubai and so forth, where, you know, being gay is a crime, they're going to get the tranny out and do the swap. I mean, it's just it's funny to look at all the, like, the little nuances here. But so Natural News had this up, claim Biden released international arms dealer Victor Bout to recruit him to offload U.S. weapons for slush fund cash controlled by Dems. Okay. And so he's moving it into the trade makes no sense at any level until you consider the following claim, which has been presented by to this author by two sources. Okay. And as Revolver News is now reporting, a true bombshell, Victor Bout flew an estimated 1,000 supply missions for the U.S. during the Iraq war. In other words, he's been on our payroll before. He's an employee of the state who was made a scapegoat. Now they suddenly need him again. So, you know, interesting that the Nigerian president warns Western weapons for Ukraine are ending up in Africa. So it's fascinating to see how all the angles are fleshing out here with this Victor Bout character, who's basically saying the United States, this is on National File, Americans are too stoned to stand up to abusive government, compares USA to USSR. I don't believe they'll have a revolution in the States, adding that widespread drug use has made the American people too weak to do anything. And that really gets into the Yuri Bezmenov stuff. He also cited the inhumane treatment of the J6 demonstrators and other Soviet-style crackdowns against patriots who questioned the status quo. Kind of interesting that he talks about... And he says, every American I met in prison who was from a rural area was very easy to deal with. He has no problem with Russia. He was curious about Russia despite all the propaganda. I find that interesting. Rural area, meaning probably white. Kind of interesting that, you know, this whole thing. But, I just had to get that stuff in there. Where are we going to go from here? Well, let's see. Let's talk about this catastrophic contagion thing, okay? Now, I've got the centerforhealthsecurity.org pulled up. This has been floating around. Now, this stuff went down in October, this exercise. Same people that ran Event 201, okay? Now, Mr. Producer, if you want to get clip 7 ready, all right, this is the audio to this exercise that was ran, okay? The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, conducted Catastrophic Contagion, a pandemic tabletop exercise, at the Grand Challenges annual meeting in Brussels, Belgium, on October 23rd, 2022. The extraordinary group of participants consisted of 10 current and former health ministers and senior public health officials from, get this, Senegal, Rwanda, Nigeria, Angola, Liberia. That's 6 African countries right there off the flip. Then you got Singapore, India, Germany, as well as Bill Gates. Interesting mix of people there. So what it looks like, I'm guessing something's going to come out of Africa or India. Okay, the exercise simulated a series of World Health Organization Emergency Health Advisory Board meetings addressing a fictional pandemic set in the near future. Participants grappled with how to respond to an epidemic located in one part of the world that then spread rapidly, becoming a pandemic with a higher fatality rate than COVID-19 and disproportionately affecting children and young people. Okay, let's go ahead and play clip 7 real quick.
Officials in two Latin American countries alerted the WHO of several outbreaks of a new infectious disease that's mysteriously appearing across the region. Severe epidemic enterovirus respiratory syndrome 2025. Over the past 6 weeks alone, there have been 500 confirmed or suspected cases reported. The virus could cause a severe pandemic if early containment and mitigation efforts are not successful.
The pandemic in this type of situation and trend would be a risk for the global health security.
Pandemics are inherently political, financial, and so much broader.
We have not spoken on the leadership in the country. And I think that we need to be also very careful. We cannot decide a lot of things without the leaders be involved and agree on that.
There is no substitute for national leadership.
It's important to support the local response or the national response.
Training those that are in these areas first, enabling them with the tools, protecting them, and if need be, regional solidarity first.
At this stage, communication is key, and communication should include not just scientists with data, but also social, religious, and political leaders.
Trust. This is an essential issue, and trust was broken among countries, between populations and healthcare systems, between healthcare systems and governments.
I'm very sorry to say that in 2025, we need to strengthen the health system.
WHO needs to be a voice for the voiceless.
No one is safe until all of us are safe.
As of today, there have been an estimated 1 billion cases worldwide, with more than 20 million deaths, including nearly 15 million children. Countless millions are alive, but left with paralysis or brain damage. The most successful countries are those which invested in preparedness and trained for this moment years in advance. This included having full-time pandemic preparedness and response teams, which conducted detailed operational planning and routinely tested those plans through exercises and drills. If more countries had participated and heeded the guidance, the toll might have been much less.
All right, you can stop it there. So, catastrophic contagion, and they ran it on 10-23-2022. 10-23-33. Isn't that nice? Catastrophic contagion, CC 33-2022 is a 6. Kind of nice there, isn't it? Now, I found this. This was on realhistorychan.com, Mike King. Of all the past hints and prophecies which the globalists communicated to their deep state henchmen about a future pandemic, this ranks high when it comes to pinpoint accuracy and shock value. And this is the post called 2008 Spy Paper Predicted Genocidal Pandemic Before 2025. In a November 2008 report entitled Global Trends 2025, A Transformed World, Global Trends 2025, A Transformed World. Remember Deagle's, the whole 2025 stuff, okay? The Office of the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, the agency which oversees, allegedly, all intelligence agencies, and the National Intelligence Council didn't just telegraph Stupid 19, but also guessed the time window and foretold how many people were to have been genocided in America and worldwide. Just to add a bit of critical context, the multi-topic report about a transformed world was published right about the time that Obongo was elected, marking the start of the Bilderberger certified 16-year plan to finish off America once and for all, with 8 years of Bathhouse Berry, followed by 8 years of Hillary Clinton. The math, 2009 plus 16 equals 2025. The opening page provides a synopsis of the report. We prepared Global Trends 2025, a transformed world, to stimulate strategic thinking about the future by identifying key trends, the factors that drive them, where they seem to be headed, and how they might interact. It uses scenarios to illustrate some of the many ways in which the drivers examined in the study may interact to generate challenges and opportunities for future decision makers. The study as a whole is more a description of the factors likely to shape events than a prediction of what will actually happen. Spy speak to English translation. These are our goals and secret programs for the coming 16 years. The study covers issues like BRICS, the climate con, migration, terrorism, international trade, etc. Always from the globalist perspective, but it is the description of a factor on page 75, which was not a prediction, of course, that really causes the jaw to drop and the blood to boil. As you will read this evil excerpt, keep in mind that this scamdemic was supposed to have struck with the satanic witch Hillary lording over us in her second term. Evidently, it was moved up a few years in order to strike at Trump during an election year mail-in ballot fraud. Headlined "Potential Emergence of a Global Pandemic," the entire one-page item is copied below. The emergence of a novel, highly transmissible and virulent human respiratory illness for which there are no adequate and countermeasures could initiate a global pandemic. If a pandemic disease emerges by 2025, internal and cross-border tension and conflict will become more likely as nations struggle with degraded capabilities to control the movement of population, seeking to avoid infection or maintain access to resources. The emergence of a pandemic disease depends upon the natural genetic mutation or reassortment of currently circulating disease strains, or the emergence of a new pathogen into the human population. Experts consider highly pathogenic avian flu strains such as H5N1 to be likely candidates for such a transformation, but other pathogens such as the SARS coronavirus or other influenza strains also have this potential. If a pandemic disease emerges, it will probably first occur in an area marked by high population density and close association between humans and animals, such as many areas of China and Southeast Asia, where human populations live in close proximity to livestock. Unregulated animal husbandry practices could allow zoonotic disease such as H5N1 to circulate in livestock populations, increasing the opportunity for mutation into a strain with pandemic potential. To propagate effectively, a disease would have to be transmitted to areas of higher population density. And I'm not going to go through this whole thing. Despite limits imposed on international travel, travelers with mild symptoms or who were asymptomatic could carry the disease to other continents. It's really, you know, part of this, what they just ran on us. Now, the question is, do they have something up their sleeve that is even more, let's just say, deadly in the short term? Okay, so we've got this, like, this four category thing Dr. Tenpenny was just talking about. Are they about to pop us with something that kills people very quick and kills a lot of people quickly? I don't know. This is, you know, we're all trying to figure out, you know, how this works here. But it's interesting. Now, Alex Jones, Mr. Producer, if you could get clip 8 ready. Alex Jones had this character named Andrew Huff on. Dr. Andrew G. Huff. Okay. Now, he is this guy that worked at Eco Health Alliance. He was in the military. He's got degrees in psychology, security technologies, and graphic information systems, and a doctorate in environmental health science in an emerging infectious disease specialty track, the University of Minnesota. He went to MIT. Okay. He was a research fellow at DHS, Center for Excellence, a senior member of technical staff at Sandia National Laboratories. And he was like right up there with Dashik at the Eco Health Alliance. So now he's being portrayed as a whistleblower. He was at Columbia University, executive at Juul Labs, so forth and so on. So the guy, and he basically wrote this book, The Truth About Wuhan, okay? And so basically, I'm just going to play the clip here that he was on with Alex Jones. Go ahead and play clip 8.
It's just incredible that we have the Eco Health Alliance whistleblower, vice president formerly of it, and senior scientist. I mean, this is so huge that you've gone public and you've done what you've done. And this has been going on in the background for a while, and you've been persecuted for what you've done. We're going to go through all of this in the next segment, but just start over with who you are and then what you started to see and what the last 3 years has been like.
Sure. So, I guess I'll start at the point where, you know, I was hired at Eco Health Alliance as a senior scientist to turn around a failing department in quantitative epidemiology, predictive modeling and forecasting. I was successful at it. And when I was promoted to vice president, I was assigned to a number of the other programs or projects at the organization. I specifically asked to be added to what's called the PREDICT program from the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. And, you know, this big program was developed or designed, and what they're telling everyone was that what they wanted to do is that they wanted to go out and collect biological samples of things like coronaviruses to predict and prevent the next pandemic. And I thought this was the coolest thing in the world. And I actually wanted to work on that project more than anything, even more than my own work that I was doing. And once I was added to the project after I was promoted, I got to see under the hood of what was going on. And I realized, you know, it was one big, big farce. And because I had previously worked on the classified side of a lot of these programs from the Department of Defense, where they're trying to go out and conduct biosurveillance, you know, and the one thing I want to mention here, it's not all nefarious. I've looked at some of the papers from the biolabs in Ukraine, which I co-wrote some of the proposals for those biolabs. It's not all nefarious. You need to go out and collect biological samples to protect the military and the United States people from biological threats. But that's really sort of not what was happening, because they weren't collecting the right data or materials to be able to predict anything accurately. So, you know, I started to ask myself, well, what the heck are they doing here? And to me, it looked like they were collecting intelligence on foreign laboratory capacity and building capacity in these foreign laboratories, which once again isn't all bad. And you fast forward to a weird conversation I had. Peter Daszak approached me and asked me whether or not he should work with the CIA. And I was shocked when he asked me about this. And I actually posted this on Twitter over a year ago, and InfoWars picked it up right away. You know, I said, Peter, it never hurts to talk to him. There could be money in it. And then over the next 2 months, he proceeds to tell me that the relationship with them is proceeding. Well, a number of things happen at Eco Health Alliance. You know, I find out Peter's sort of a bad guy. He lies to me about a part of a way that we are planning to grow and privatize a section of my company. And I saw the writing on the wall. I got the heck out of there. I was happy as I could be to leave Eco Health Alliance. I never thought that it would amount to anything. Well, fast forward to the fall of 2019, and that's when I learned myself about the emerging infectious disease outbreak in Wuhan, China. I actually found out about it in mid-December 2019 from picking up some chatter, and that's one of the technologies that I developed for the Department of Defense, was actually using natural language processing technology to detect these emerging threats when people are tweeting or sending information over the pipeline or over networks. So I always had my finger on the pulse of these events in order to look for information. So you know, when people start talking about there's some crazy disease event going on in China, I go to validate that. And one way that I did that, this is actually an analyst technique that I learned. You can go look for what's called particulate matter data, 2.5. And what that represents, if you see little in a plume dispersion model, if you see clusters of this or you see a high concentration of it, you can then overlay it with the city's infrastructure. And that's what I did. And it looked like the crematoriums in Wuhan were operating in overdrive. Well, this is super exciting. You know, like this is what people like me get really excited about. And, you know, I start calling up friends, coworkers, colleagues, and, you know, sounding the alarm, like, hey, why isn't the U.S. government doing anything about this? And nobody really had a good answer. And then over the next 2 weeks, it starts to pick up on other public forums where epidemiologists share information that there's an outbreak.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop it there.
And then trickles into.
But basically, I'm looking at this book, okay? The truth about Wuhan, and he talks about, besides exposing the conspiracy and cover up, he also puts forth policy solutions and recommendations to prevent a lab leak virus from plaguing the world again. And he talks about how the medical industrial complex grew and became entrenched in gain of function work after 9/11, why Eco Health Alliance was an almost perfect intelligence collection cover. And he talks about swapping biotechnology with China and biomedical corporations. So you look at all these patents. There's all Chinese names in here with our people's names and all that stuff. It's real crazy. And he talks about Fauci intricately involved in the COVID cover-up and all this stuff. And it's just like – and it talks about – and he goes on in this interview, talks about the being harassed by the government, running psyops against him, you know, being attacked and all this stuff. And I'm just like, there's going to be a lot of people that really look into this and be like, well, this guy is a cutout of some sort. And he is a limited hangout type thing. And I just wanted to put that out there because I can see how, you know, okay, this guy real big at the Eco Health Alliance, he becomes a whistleblower. He goes on the book tour with all the alternative media people, kind of like vis-a-vis Robert Malone, where a lot of people are throwing him under the bus now as some sort of a limited hangout. And I can see this happening with this Dr. Andrew Huff guy. Not to say that he's not on the up and up. I don't know enough. I'm just a turd layman down here at our level, but I can see how, because I was just getting a weird feeling when I was listening to him. He's like, well, I've been part of the deep state. And he was saying, oh, it's not all bad, and, you know, this, and this. And look, there's probably people in the biological warfare community, let's just say, that don't want to do dirty stuff, that are trying to protect our country and this thing. You know, so they're in any of these really shadowy circles. You have to hope that there are some decent people in here that are trying to do the right thing and blah, 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 blah. You just don't know. He's talking about, yeah, well, maybe if there's money in it with the CIA, you know, all that stuff, a lot of this stuff, when I was listening to it, I was just like, this is just giving me a weird feeling. And I just wanted to kind of put that out to the audience. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
All right, we're back. Last half hour of the broadcast coming your way. Israeli-based 3D-printed lab-grown meat company is building the world's largest facility in North Carolina. Believer Meat. Formerly known as Future Meat Technologies, building its facility with an initial planned investment of $123.35 million. Wonder how much of that we gave them. That's what I'm wondering. Located in Wilson County, North Carolina, which covers a site of 200,000 square feet. And it looks like one of those big, you know, industrial park, big, huge warehouse. Remember I talked about when this thing goes live and they start running the gulags are going to be in these business parks, folks. Because you could be running torture chambers, whatever kind of evil crap you want, and it looks like just a regular old big old business warehouse in some nameless industrial park. Ugh. Believer Meats, a leading pioneer of the cultivated meat industry, officially broke ground today on this first U.S. commercial facility. Once operational, the 200,000 square foot facility will be the largest cultivated meat production center in the world, with the capacity to produce at least 10,000 metric tons of cultivated meat without the need to slaughter a single animal. This is a watershed moment for the cultivated meat industry that will allow Believer Meats to meet growing demand for decades to come. Wonder what's going to be in that stuff, Soylent Green level stuff. The Israelis, yeah, I want to get a believer meat burger. What's it going to do to you? Gosh, we're so far along into just weirdness. You know, you can't even believe it. Great Reset. UK prepares to introduce a digital pound, central bank digital currency. The de facto head of His Majesty's Treasury announced this week that the Bank of England has begun consultations on implementing a central bank digital currency that could usher in the globalist vision of a cashless society in which all transactions are traceable by the government. I tell you what, this King Charles, Queen Charles, this son of a gun is one evil SOB. And now that he's there, God help the people of England and the UK. Now, this is up on SHTF plan. Nigeria limits ATM withdrawals to force slaves to use controlled digital payments. Nigeria started to limit ATM withdrawals to $45 in an effort to force its slaves to use master-controlled digital payments. The good news is that the Nigerians seem to get it when it comes to not wanting to be subjected to enslavement. Staggering number of Nigerians love Bitcoin but hate government cryptocurrency. So, you know, I see we got some calls stacking up. I got a lot to get to, folks. Be very brief. Tom in Florida. Go ahead, Tom. Tom, last chance. Okay, James in Vancouver.
Yeah, okay. So Huff is just a limited hangout. They want to kill everybody they can with these shots, and the ones they can't kill, they're going to Neuralink them. A compliment of Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Had a catfight Friday morning with one of the senior presenters, and this guy thinks that Elon Musk is some savior for free speech, okay?
Right.
But it ain't going to work like that, so.
Anyway, yeah, I hear you.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, thanks, James. You know, this Twitter dumps with Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss and all this. It's interesting to see, you know, because there's a lot of people talking about, oh, my gosh, these are the white hats. They're taking it back, and they're dumping everything. And so forth. You know, this is the Q team coming in, and they're finally making some moves and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's fascinating to watch all this.
Anyway, I'm sorry about, well, you know, you mentioned things that happened. I'm sorry to hear about that. Just wanted to let you know.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks. Kathleen in Texas.
Too,
all right. See you, man. Kathleen in Texas. What's
hey,
up?
Hey, Robert. I heard you say talk about your mother and her, you know, irritable bowel and all that. Criticalhealthnews.com. Criticalhealthnews.com. And that's Dr. Joel Wallach. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah, sure. Dead doctors don't lie.
Yeah, that dead doctors don't lie. Okay. He will fix her up. I mean, you don't have to buy any of his stuff. His research is fabulous. And it's he would say the first thing, don't let your mother eat any wheat, barley, rye, or oats. And then combine that with Dr. Jennifer Daniels and her turpentine, and your mom should be fine. But anyway, then I wanted to tell you that the man that's on in the morning, John Moore, he has a guest that comes regularly, Jeff somebody, who's an expert on everything. he completely disputes the, you read the Elders of Zion today, and he says that it was a parody of a book that someone else had written, and, you know, goes into this. And Murr, who calls in, I'm sure you know her, she was very brave because she challenged him, and he, you know, said, oh, no, have you read this book? Have you read that book?
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't happen anyway. Okay, well, have a wonderful Christmas, and I really have, you're always in my prayers, and I'm sorry about your aunt.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. There's a lot of people around me. You know, I was like, man, I haven't seen really anything happening to people and so forth. Like I said, I got another family member now that has a form of cancer. And now some people like that are not family members, I'm seeing them start to get really sick and so forth and so on. So I don't know. We'll see how this all works out. I hope that there's not this massive wave of death that comes across, you know, in the next few years. But I you know, don't know. Gun shops and customers claim credit card firms restrict firearms purchases, folks. Gun rights advocates warn that a new change to the credit card industry to add a firearm and ammunition-specific merchant category code for gun stores wasn't about tracking guns necessarily, but could lead to denial of lawful firearms purchases by the law-abiding citizens. In September, I've been reading about all this. Twitter account Battlecock Tactical tweeted federal firearms license in a Facebook group shared this. Looks like the Doomers accurately called how the firearms merchant code would go down. Transaction declined, charge declined, restricted card, customer bank does not allow this card to be used at this type of merchant. Isn't that interesting? So people are getting denied at gun merchants when they try to buy firearms and firearms accessories. So why the hell are you trying to buy that stuff with your card anyway, you clowns? Use cash. How long have I been talking about using cash? Especially if you're going to buy some guns or something. Holy cow. I mean, if you got to buy ammo remotely, I get it. Online, you're going to get it shipped to you or whatever. But I mean, if you're going to a local gun store, bring cash. What are you thinking? Let's get clip 11 ready, Mr. Producer. This is like Matrix level. This is straight out of the Matrix. Okay, let's go ahead and listen to it.
Introducing Ectolife, the world's first artificial womb facility, powered entirely by renewable energy. Ectolife allows infertile couple to conceive a baby and become the true biological parents of their own offspring. It's a perfect solution for women who had their uterus surgically removed due to cancer or other complications. With Ectolife, premature births and C-sections will be a thing of the past. Ectolife is designed to help countries that are suffering from severe population decline, including Japan, Bulgaria, South Korea, and many others. The facility features 75 highly equipped labs. Each state-of-the-art lab can accommodate up to 400 growth pods or artificial wombs. Every pod is designed to replicate the exact conditions that exist inside the mother's uterus. A single building can incubate up to 30,000 lab-grown babies per year. Ectolife allows your baby to develop in an infection-free environment. The pods are made of materials that prevent germs from sticking to their surfaces. Every growth pod features sensors that can monitor your baby's vital signs, including heartbeat, temperature, blood pressure, breathing rate, and oxygen saturation. The artificial intelligence-based system also monitors the physical features of your baby and reports any potential genetic abnormalities. The pods are equipped with a screen that displays real-time data on the developmental progress of your baby. These data are sent directly to your phone so you can track your baby's health from the comfort of your zone. The app also provides you with a high-resolution live view of your baby's development. A special section in the app allows you to watch a time-lapse of your baby's growth and share it directly with your loved ones. Because babies can recognize language and learn new words while still in the womb, Ectolife Growth Pods feature internal speakers that play a wide range of words and music to your baby. Through the app, you can choose the playlist that your baby listens to. You can also directly sing to your baby and make them familiar with your voice before birth. Our goal is to provide you with an intelligent offspring that truly reflects your smart choices. Ectolife improves your bonding experience with your baby thanks to a 360 degrees camera that's fitted inside your baby's growth pod. You can use your virtual reality headset to explore what it's like to be in your baby's place. See what they see and hear what they hear. Using a wireless haptic suit connected to your baby's growth pod, you will be able to sense their kicks in the womb and share this experience with your friends and family members.
All right, you get it, but it's, you know, and I don't know, they're desensitizing us. They're preparing for all of this stuff, and it's, you know, the Matrix is here, blah, 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 blah. We're moving towards this, you know, this fake life, fake, I mean, the pods to kill you and then the pods to when you, you know, grow babies in these pods. And then when it's time to die, they'll put you in one of these death pods. It's just, this is Logan's Run, Children of the Corn. I mean, all these things kind of wrapped into one. So here's one. So, Mr. Producer, this is clip one. So we're worried about digital passports for us. But see, they want to have you have a digital passport for your car. So this is further clamping down on movement. You know, we're hearing about things in like what, Oxfordshire and England, where they're going to try to start limiting people's movement. Oh, you can't go so far. Remember what they did to places in Australia? Oh, you can't go so many miles away from your home. Well, this is your car digital passports. Go ahead and roll clip one.
This vehicle, we see the representation of the digital passport of the vehicle. In this case, BMW send us information about the vehicle that we can verify independently through that new technology. And BMW can now request access to a flexibility service that we have to approve. And we can approve that now for the specific vehicle or to all types of that vehicle. And that claim is then sent to the car, and that car stores it in its digital passport.
Okay, and can we see it in action?
Yeah, actually, this car is today in Berlin, and I would suggest that we move to the charging station and meet the two other project partners.
Perfect, let's go. So earlier, Kai explained to us why digital passports are so important for Elia Group. Can you tell us a bit more why this technology is so important for a company like BMW as well?
A digital identity for the car will help us and our customers to create many innovative and forward-looking use cases.
So one of those use cases is the one we have at hand. The vehicle, charging station and energy grid interact on the basis of trusted and verified identities. So I'm very happy that we have reached the first milestone in this project.
So Robert, can you just take us through the process?
Here, the vehicle and the charge point are both connected to EnergyWeb Open Charging Network, and that's where they can share their data with other parties. Most importantly, all the data stays with the vehicle, stored inside its digital passport, and we made all of this possible by keeping the user's privacy in mind, but also fulfilling industry requirements.
So, Kai, I have one final question for you, if that's okay. What has this test demonstrated?
So today we demonstrated the potential of decentralized identifier. We were able to identify the vehicle and to share trusted data about it. And secondly, we linked it to a charging station and received metering data from specifically this vehicle. And by connecting both, so the vehicle ID and the metering data, we can now start with flexibility use cases.
If you want to find out more, head to Elia Group's innovation website.
All right. So I wanted to get this one in too. This one's clip 13, Mr. Producer. And this is put out by the Israel Advocacy Movement. And this one, you'll hear a lot of familiar voices in it. Go ahead and roll 13.
Ben Shapiro claimed that Kanye isn't turning anyone anti-Semitic. He's wrong, and I'll show you how.
Most people who are in any way engaged with these issues, I don't think they're being convinced to be anti-Semitic by Ye.
For the last couple of months, Kanye's been ranting about Jews.
It's Jewish Zionists.
Jewish.
Jewish.
I want Jewish children to look at their daddy and say, why is Ye mad at us?
In a bizarre twist, the far right are now rallying behind him. Think about that. Literal white supremacists are now cheerleading for a black man.
What does everyone think about Kanye West? I think he's a G. What Kanye said has got the whole world talking about this issue.
The world's most famous hip-hop superstar is calling out the Jews for all to see.
I'm totally in support of Kanye.
I was very happy, as you know, with Kanye West.
Now that Ye's out there, it's the right thing to do to support the guy who is attacking the Jews.
I think the goal of the Ye 24 campaign will be also metapolitical in the sense of promoting, you know, Christian ethics in politics and hopefully anti-Semitic, so to speak, counter-Semitic ideas.
This year is crazy. Few people would have been able to predict that white supremacists would be reacting like that to Kanye West, but they are. But a more concerning trend that we observed was white supremacists trying to recruit black people to their anti-Semitic ideology.
Which brings me here to, you know, the Negroes. Old Kanye lost $2 billion supposedly here. And so I would like to propose an Aryan Nations and Proud Alliance against Jews, the spawn of Satan.
And it cuts both ways. Black supremacists are now reaching out to neo-Nazis to build an anti-Jewish alliance.
The only way to beat these guys is the two groups, the extreme blacks and the extreme white. Mm. Because what happens is, once they come together, there's a middle. We fight the best, we're the meanest.
Right.
You guys go to second level. You've done it before. You figure them out, it's you and the Jew, you deal with the Jew.
Yeah.
So we sit down here, we talk, we figure that out, we get out each other's way, and we save each other's race.
Don't think that it's just anti-Semites talking to anti-Semites, though. Despite what Ben Shapiro thinks, ordinary people are also being radicalized. Take this next clip, where John Minadio, one of America's most notorious anti-Semites, wins over many of the black panelists and commenters on this popular YouTube channel.
I am a white supremacist, okay? I'm identify as a neo-Nazi.
This guy, man, is a who uses the N-word.
So what?
Listen. Man, listen. What I'm saying is this. Who he is, you see who his energy is rooted at attacking. I don't think this man want to exterminate black people or nothing.
I don't.
Right. I don't. Look at what he's saying. Like, yeah, go ahead.
Here we go. Here's the media. All the people that are pushing all this stuff on our kids, right? 96% of America's media is owned by Jews. Keep in mind, when you call me a Nazi or whatever, you got to realize that Hitler worked with Africans, he worked with Japanese, and he worked with Indians as well. Bro, you listen to Ray Higgins, listen to Pastor Ray Higgins and what he said about Hitler.
And that's okay? How I know this dude know what he's talking about. Like, Ray Higgins is the truth.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure this guy knows exactly.
You have been conditioned. You've been conditioned. You can't question the Holocaust in 18 countries. 18 countries.
Yeah, I just want to ask you, HT, because my first thing when I hear a is automatic racism bash. So I just want to get a quick, if Sanchez allowed, a quick understanding of what you mean by that.
Real quick, like, I just believe in, I believe stop the hate and separate. I think that all places should be homogenous. I believe that black folks and white folks can figure this out after the enemy of humanity is dealt with. And we will not go anywhere if we continue killing each other and just constantly talking crap about each other. I believe what Kanye did was pretty brave.
I ain't gonna lie, I kind of like what he's saying and what Rob's saying. And he said he the damn racist.
This unification of black and white anti-Semites culminated with two of the world's most infamous far-right figures, Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes, being recruited by Kanye to manage his campaign.
All right, you can go ahead and stop it there. Now, this is on Information Liberation. Ari Emanuel, blacks must reject the politics of division and unite with the Jews against whites. Okay, so, you know, this has been the... And I've talked about this since I came on the air. Basically, Jewish mafia forces taking the blacks, who they ran all the slave ships and everything else, secret relationship between blacks and Jews, you know, for the Nation of Islam, put out all that research out there. And then they wanted to say, well, okay, we've got to change gears here. We're gonna start the NAACP. We're going to use them as an agitation force against the larger white society. And they've done it quite successfully. Now, most of your blacks are Marxist, whether they know they're Marxist or not. Regardless, many of them are Afro-Marxists. They know what they're doing. They are, you know, into like the Danny Glovers of the world and so forth. But anyway... another article, World War Jew, by Jonas Alexis over at Veterans Today, and he's a black guy. And this section I'm going to read, it's real good. It's in the interest of expansionist Israel to push the West to start a limited nuclear war against Russia and China. This is because Russia and China are supporting the biggest enemies of Israel, i.e. the Shia Crescent, that has almost surrounded Israel and stopped its expansion. Shia Muslims are a majority or a large minority in Iran, South Iraq, Bahrain, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and the oil-rich areas of eastern Saudi Arabia. So think about it. Lebanon with Hezbollah, Syria, the Alawites, Yemen, the Houthis. Who've we been over there in Syria and Yemen screwing with? All these Shiites, you see, because the Sunnis, the Saudis, just normalized relationship with Israel. So the Sunnis and the Israelis are hooked up together. You know, you're going to have your kosher caliphate, and then you're going to have expansionist Israel, and they're going to be cool with that. But the Shia are the Shia Crescent. You know, they're the ones holding up this Greater Israel project. Very, very interesting. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Who knows what will happen in the next week. We'll see. Take care, everyone. I've got a lot to lose. Got a lot to learn. And no time. Rains for sunny day. Till summer's cleansing drops the dirt away.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.